Welcome to GVC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Hear interviews and discussions with coworkers, stay informed about GVC news and projects, and catch up on the latest news and happenings at the co-op, and more. Let's get started.
Hey, GVEC team. Thanks for tuning in to the GVEC Unplugged podcast. Today, you have myself, Jordan Kiewick, Marketing and Communications Manager, Shelby Mueller, Social Media Specialist, Casey Bose, Business and Brand Development Administrator, and Justin Bose, Lineman out of Seguin. This episode, we're going to do a little something we're calling Podcast Podcast, where we're all going to share some podcast recommendations with you all and tell you about why you should listen. I'd also like to note this is our first podcast that we're doing remotely due to COVID-19, so please forgive any audio hiccups you may hear. So, who would like to share their podcast recommendations first?
I can.
Casey, is that you?
Yep, that's me.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
So my favorite podcast that I listen to is probably the Chrisley Confessions. That one's probably one of my favorites because I do watch their show on, I think it's USA. And they're just like a hilarious family to follow. And they talk about real life stuff. They're very faith-based and Southern. And so a lot of their jokes, I guess, I can kind of relate to.
So are they like a wealthy family? I think I've only seen like commercials for them and stuff. What's kind of their deal?
So they're pretty wealthy. Right now, I think they're in Tennessee. And Todd Chrisley is the main host and the dad of the family. And he got a lot of his money through real estate development. And I guess back in like 2011, 2012 timeframe is when they were approached about doing what was going to be like a docuseries about their life. And it kind of turned into a comedy, being that that's how their life was. But I mean, other than that, it's really just like their day-to-day lives.
So I actually have a clip of that podcast if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, I think that when we started this show, you know, our show was picked up as a docuseries, as reality, and the world has accepted this show as a comedy. And trust me, you're laughing, but a lot of the times we're not laughing, but we're glad you can laugh at our pain. I mean, you know, there are a lot of times that, no, I'm not laughing, Shelley. I am so pissed off at that moment that I'm literally putting on that fake smile trying to get through this because I want a throat punch somebody. But with that being said, because it's being filmed, I'm not going to throat punch anyone. I'm going to wait until the cameras go down. But we do have a lot of laughter in our life, and that's a blessing.
Cool. That is the clip that really did describe it, just like you said, Casey.
Yeah, you're definitely not lying about Southern. That was quite an accent that he had there. Yes. So it's a whole family, is that right?
So it's Todd Chrisley and his wife Julie, and they have together, well, he has two kids from his first marriage and three kids from his second marriage with Julie. And it feels very real life. You know, that one of their oldest kids had like a drug addiction, and they took on taking care of his daughter and adopted her. And they talk a lot about just like real life things. So I think that son has like mental health issues and just normal family drama that I feel like every family probably goes through. And Todd usually tackles like their problems in a pretty comical way. With some of the Southern phrases he says are things that you would have never heard.
even in GVC territory, he's still like pretty Southern then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think one of my favorites is ignorance I can fix, but stupid is forever.
Yeah.
Pretty relatable.
It's funny, sure. On the picture on Apple Podcasts, it's them together and it looks like a prom photo.
Very like
like a portrait of a prom photo.
That's funny.
It's
them all the time though.
We watch the show pretty religiously now, and it's hilarious. I think his favorite is Nanny Faye, the grandma that's on the show. And they talk about her a lot on the podcast. And
she was down home. She didn't have any money. So when she's when they do the show, she's all natural. I mean, just old fashioned.
A little Southern bumpkin.
Yes.
That's funny. That I really like how y'all reenacted the photo. That was great. We're also videoing so we can see each other for everyone listening, and they just reenacted the prom pose, and it's great.
It's like a picture out of Step Brothers.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So how long do the podcasts normally run for that show?
That one's about, I think they range between like 40 and 50 minutes. Their main thing, they start off kind of talking about their week or their life. Like the recent episodes, Todd Chrisley actually got the coronavirus and was like really sick and in the hospital. So they've been kind of touching on that a lot recently. But then they actually have like a hotline where people call in and ask questions and leave messages. And so they spend usually like 30 minutes or so answering questions about how people that have questions about their lives. And then the last few minutes, they kind of just wrap it all up. And they talk a lot about like, you know, having faith in things. And it's also, it can be very inspirational.
So does it relate a lot to the show? I think they're on like TLC or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it the same type of thing or do they cover different sorts of things? I think I like that you said they have the interactive of the questions, but is everything else kind of the same?
For the most part, I feel like it tries to go a little bit more like behind the scenes, like stuff that they wouldn't talk about on the show. So recently, I think it was last year, they were also accused of tax fraud.
Oh, and gosh.
They were highly like in the press for that, and it was very negative. And so they talk about that a lot right now, but because it was actually all kind of a scam, supposedly, that was put on by like the Georgia Revenue Service. And so they don't talk about that like at all on the TV show, but in the podcast, it's like they're kind of their unplugged version. And so mm-hmm. talk about anything and everything. Callers that call in talk about if they're going through a divorce, like asking for advice or there seem to be a lot about people that don't like their mother-in-laws. I'm not sure why.
You got to live a good stereotype, right?
Exactly.
Well, I Googled it and it is on USA if anyone wants to watch the show.
USA. Okay, cool. Thank you. So what else do you have? What's your next podcast?
So my next podcast is the Bobby Cast, which is based on Bobby Bones, who does like radio.
Yeah.
We're both pretty big fans of Bobby Bones. He does like stand-up comedy and we've been to his comedy shows. And I also like all of the like charity work that he does. So I started listening to his Bobby Cast, which is again, kind of like that behind the scenes. And so some of the episodes are where he pulls in like an artist and they talk about, you know, like the background of like a song or, you know, interesting facts about music. Because then they also have other ones where it's like him and co-hosts and they talk about like specifically where with like Michael Jackson.
Scandals?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Scandals. Good job. They talk about big scandals that happen in music and if it changed the way that you listen to that person's music after that. And one of my favorites was the Mount Rushmore of music albums. So they all got to pick like their top four albums of all time that they would listen to.
I do have a clip from that one as well. I just feel like I'm here to provide you guys treats. Like, here you go. Here's this soundbite. And here's this Google answer. Got you. Okay. So do you want to explain what the Mount Rushmore of albums is? And then I'll play your clip.
Okay. So they're Mount Rushmore of albums, since you have Mount Rushmore has four faces, right? I think. I've never been there. So they have their four, you know, the top four albums that like are like the monumental albums mm-hmm. of your lifetime. So like, you know, when you were a teenager, this album like really resonated with me or whatever. And so they go around the room and they each pick like their top four favorite albums of all time.
Cool. Okay. So here's a clip of that.
Mine, I put John Mayer Continuum as one of my most listened to albums.
Mm.
Possibly my favorite album of all time. Probably my favorite album of all time. It's tough, but yes, my favorite album of all
time.
Dude,
this is a good one.
Yeah, turn this one up. This is Gravity. And it was right in that stage of my life where you're starting to make all the big decisions. And so that music, when you're in your mid, late 20s,
yes,
even early 30s, it's like the adult decision album where you're like, all right. So like I associate all that with like my life taking big turns. And
it even has like a very soothing feel to the whole album. Like that's not really rocking or anything. It's got a cool, like it's like you are growing up, because even John Mayer and his music was kind of growing up in this album too.
Cool. That was Bobby Cast. I really like that. I like that he kind of talks about his favorite stuff, so you get inside about
him.
What I like
about people making podcasts that also have a show is they kind of get to have a little bit more control, and they can like stretch their segments out and get a little bit deeper in them. And so I like that they're doing a lot of those things where, you know, because I could see that as a radio bit, but I don't know if they'd be able to go through like the full, you know, four big albums and do that. So I'm really glad that people that, and personalities especially, that obviously people enjoy and relate to and grow to love, that they're giving themselves these opportunities to share more insight into who they are.
Yeah, and I feel like with Bobby, he has people on the podcast with him. Like one of the guys is like his producer. So on his radio show, you really don't get to hear a lot about him because he's not, you know, the main face of the station. But then he's like a very big part of the podcast. He produces the podcast basically. And so he gets to kind of chime in and he gives his four favorite albums. You kind of learn a little bit about the people that are behind the scenes of the actual like Bobby Bones show.
Talking about Eddie.
Yeah. Mike. So he's like the Shelby. We've got Shelby handling the recording and also the, you know, making sure that we get everything produced right. And she's also a background Googler and also gets to participate. So yeah, I think that's also cool about the podcast is there's a lot of like behind the scenes stuff that you kind of get sneak peeks at. That's really cool. Okay, Casey. And I think you had a third one, right?
Yeah. So my third one is a little darker.
Ooh, exciting.
I've always been into like the whole true crime thing. Like when I was in high school, that's what I wanted to do, was be like a forensic psychologist, and obviously didn't pursue that. And I don't know why that's always interested me. And so I started listening to some different true crime podcasts. And one of the ones I like is Crime Junkie.
Okay.
And they kind of touch on a lot of basically murders, a little dark, but
just real life.
Exactly. A lot of them are not like well known. They don't do, you know, like the typical Charles Manson and, you know, the ones that everybody already knows about. It's kind of these like, this could be in your neighborhood kind of thing.
Oh, so nice and creepy.
Very creepy. I got Shelby to listen to one today and she was like, why would you do this to me?
And everyone else is going to listen to it too, because I pulled that clip and it legit, it scared me this morning. I kept looking behind me. Obviously there's no one there, but I'm not joking when I say
okay, so truly scared me. I'm interested.
So this story, just I guess background, is about, Casey explained it to me this morning, this girl who worked at a drive-thru coffee shop, like
similar to like On the Grind.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she works at On the Grinds and this man basically takes her. It's creepy.
Like out of the window.
Out of the window.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's gross. It's scary. Okay. Let's do it.
The man who's on the other side, a man in a ski mask, crawls through the window into the stand with Samantha.
What?
Yep. And they're like together. You can't really see what they're doing because all the lights are off. But it doesn't take long before he actually removes her from the stand, like through the door. And they can be seen on the outside video for a brief moment before they disappear off screen. And her dad and her boyfriend have no idea what to think about this. Was this somebody she knew? Was it a customer? Was it a total stranger? The FBI is brought in to assist, and they're combing through Samantha's social media looking for links to anyone who might want to harm her, who might have something against her. And time for the family is passing at an excruciatingly slow pace. 2.5 weeks go by before there's a break in the case. Samantha's boyfriend gets a text from Samantha's phone. And this is, again, 2.5 weeks later. All the text says is Connor Park, sign under pick of Albert, ain't she purdy?
So I think it also probably helps that she is talking in dramatic, creepy story voice. I'm going to have to do a podcast where the whole time It's just drama building up again 2 weeks later. Yeah. That's awesome. I am very interested in that. That's really cool.
The only thing I will say about that podcast, like I told Shelby this morning, was it's posted by two women. And the one who talks more, like I can, like I don't mind the way she talks, but the other one kind of drives me nuts because it feels like she chimes in places like, where she's like 2 weeks later and she's like, oh my God, really? Like,
two weeks. Yeah. So let me just defend her slightly as having hosted one podcast myself. There's a lot of pressure to make you feel like you need to interject. And I'm trying really hard to learn how to not interrupt. So if you've been listening to the podcast and you think I wish Jordan would stop interrupting, just know I am working on that. I'm trying to let people tell their own stories.
Yours is not the same. Hers is like, it tries to be like for dramatic effect from her. And it's just not like, it's not in the right places, yeah, I feel like.
She's like, 2 weeks later. 2 weeks?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like that. I think that one sounds really interesting. What's it called again?
That is it the podcast still playing?
sounds like a podcast.
Yeah, no, there's a guy with a leaf blower at my apartment, like, and it happens all the time, and I knew it was going to happen when we were recording this, so don't mind the leaf blower, man, he'll pass eventually.
Yeah, this is real life GVAC family, you're hearing exactly. Really what's happening in our homes right now, so yeah. Please forgive us.
The bug man is supposed to come today, too, so if the random man just flies by my computer, don't mind him.
Okay, but if he pulls you off of screen and we don't get a text message for 2 weeks, then yeah. We'll know.
True friend.
We'll call Casey's podcast people and we'll let them know there's time to do a story.
Yes, but try to find me too.
Oh, yes, and also we'll start a search party for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I think those are really awesome, Casey. I think those are really solid recommendations. So agreed. I think that's the three that you wanted to present, right? You don't have any others?
Nope, that's it.
All right, cool. So, Shelby, do you want to do yours next?
Sure.
You have three that you're talking about as well, right?
Yes. So I guess the first one I'm going to talk about, it's called Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. So he's the one who's married to Kristen Bell.
Yes, and love.
Yes, they're both really funny. And so his podcast, basically, he interviews celebrities or famous psychologists or just anyone famous, really, and they just say their backstories on how they became famous, what they thought about their roles, and also just about their childhood. And then he kind of like gets into their mind to be like, maybe you're this way because of how your childhood was. So it's kind of psychology a little bit, but it's also really fun to hear their backstories. And I think one of my favorite ones is with Justin Long. I think that's what his name is. And
I love Justin Long.
Yeah, the like skinny guy with the dark hair that's in all those funny movies.
Yeah, I one of my favorite movies is Accepted, which I think is not that popular a movie. Yes, I love Justin Long.
Okay, so if you guys do listen to this one, I recommend listening to his. He's not even my favorite actor, but he tells this crazy story about how he met these locals while he was filming a movie and they kind of kidnapped him a little bit and like was trying to take advantage of him and he jumped out of a car. It's crazy. Gosh. It's a 15-minute story, so I wanted to pull the clip, but it was just too long, so highly recommend you listen to it. And they have a lot of really famous people, Ashton Kutcher. Who else? I just listened to the one Ed Helms from like The Hangover and The Office. And so they have a really big mix of people, really famous celebrities, E-listers. It's just a whole mix. And I really enjoy listening to their backgrounds and kind of an insight on their life. It's really cool.
So does he try to do this psychology thing because he has like a degree in psychology, or he's just like doing his thing?
I don't know. I know he went to college and graduated, so it might have been psychology, but he's been sober for 15 years or some really long time, so he's done a lot of therapy to be like, I do this, so maybe this is why you do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Life experience counts for a lot.
Yes. And so it's very funny, and he's just hilarious, and his co-host is funny, and all the people on the show are really funny.
Wait, do we have a clip for this one, or is or
no.
No, okay. So I think something else, because I've listened to that one too. I really like that at the end, the way he ties in like this armchair expert thing is he has Monica who's like sitting next to him.
Yeah.
And through the whole thing at the very end, she just like saves up all these Googles that she's done, like what Shelby just did for me earlier. And she'll be like, yeah, so you said that this was on, you know, TLC and it's actually on USA.
Yeah.
And so she'll give like all these corrections of anything that he said that was wrong and him being an armchair expert where everybody's an expert in everything. And so she'll just kind of correct him, which I think is always fun, but maybe that's because that's part of my personality and probably one of the less attractive parts of my personality, that if somebody says something incorrect, I cannot help myself to be like, well, in fact, this is the truth. Kind of like, this is really annoying people that are like, well, actually, Well, actually, yeah.
Like Oscar off The Office.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing. Thank you for catching that.
That's so funny. Yeah, that part of the podcast is called Fact Checks with Monica, and it's great. And I also really like, this is so random, but I really like his theme song. It's just really catchy. Even if I fast forward, I always go back to make sure I get to listen to it. And when there's commercials, I always rewind it to make sure I get to hear the little jazzy transition. It's just really cool.
I think that's actually like really high marks to be like, and also I want to listen to his theme music. That's really cool. So kudos to him.
Yeah, I think it's fun. So that's that one. Casey, you've listened to that too sometimes, right?
Yeah, I've caught a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I just love Dax Shepard. Like, even when he does his little Dr. Dax on Ellen, basically does the exact same thing, but on Ellen's show. And so I just think he's hilarious.
I love that. He's also had Ellen on his show. Fun fact. So,
yeah, I think he's even had like Tig Notaro. He's had a huge like span of all these people.
Cool. Well, that's Armchair Expert. So definitely recommend. He has over 200 episodes too. So you can really just pick what celebrities you want to listen to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he has a lot. My next favorite podcast, it's probably they're tied. I can't decide which one I like better, is Office Ladies. So
yes.
My favorite show is The Office, which I'm sure everyone else's is as well. Classic. Mm-hmm. And so Jenna Fischer, who plays Pam, and then Angela Kinsey, who plays
Angela.
Angela. Oh my God. I was like, what is her name on the show? So stupid. And Angela Kinsey, who plays Angela, supposedly in their intro, they say they're best friends in real life. And so they're rewatching every week one episode and then kind of going back and telling us details. What else do they do? Fast facts. So just random facts about it. Who produced it? Who wrote it? Sometimes it's Mindy Kaling. Sometimes it's the guy who plays Ryan. And they'll go into those details, but also they'll give you just interesting facts that you didn't know that happened. And they also point out mistakes in the show. So if they can see that someone's breaking character, they'll give you a timestamp and be like, hey, go in the background and see Angela acting like a nice person and not the mean person she's supposed to be. Or just some continuity things. So if there's a water bottle in one scene and then the next it's gone, they'll point those out. And then people will email them questions and they'll do the fan questions there too. So it's just all about the episode. And they'll also have guests. So they've had Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight, go on there. And it's always just really interesting to hear everyone's point of view.
Yeah, I like that because I feel like they're so, like, of course, most people who've seen The Office have seen The Office multiple times. Like, you just start it back over when you're like, ah, there's nothing good on, start The Office again. And so I like it because it adds like another layer of fun of be like, oh, and now I can watch it and look for that thing that they talked about. Or, you know, now I can interrupt what's going on and tell my significant other this thing that they don't care about, this character, or maybe they do care because they're just as invested in me as me. So I like that for that aspect. Plus, I mean, you know, like, it's almost like getting new episodes of the show that's ended that you wish that you could still watch.
And that's why I love it. It's great. I do enjoy it very much. I do have a clip from it. I thought it was just a really interesting fact. So this is the episode for the Christmas party, like the first Christmas party, when Jim gives Pam the teapot, gets taken away. He had a note.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that big moment, everyone on the fans have been asking, what does the note say? Because when she gets it back in a later season, they never say what it said. And so
I think she ends up just saying like, oh, I'll just keep that private or whatever she says, right?
Exactly. So she kind of goes into that a little bit because no one knows what it said. So I'm going to play that for you guys.
Are you going to say what was in the note?
Sort of.
Because I don't know what was on that card. None of us do.
I'm the only one who knows, and John knows.
Oh my gosh, lady.
In that episode in season 9, I believe Greg suggested to John that he write a personal message from himself to me, just saying what our time together on The Office meant to him.
Oh, Jenna.
Because we were wrapping up filming, we were wrapping up the series, and we were all so emotional at that time, you know?
We were all sort of saying goodbye in different ways.
We were. And so that was his goodbye.
Yep. So that's the clip. So very interesting insight.
That's so sweet. It sounded like she was like choking up, and you can see like how much friendship was built. It's also really weird to hear her call him John, because I just
it's not his name.
Like it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's cool. I really like the insight, and yeah, they're all still really close. I know Angela actually lives in the same neighborhood as Creed in real life.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Because Creed's real name is also Creed, right?
Yeah. I think it's Creed Bratton. I don't know what his last name is on the show. I don't know if they ever address it, but he...
I think his name is Brad.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty sure his name is Creed Bratton, both in real life and on the show.
And he's also weird in real life, too. He was on the show in one of them, and it's just so funny. She's like, yeah, that's what you would have done on the show and in real life.
That's really awesome. I like that. I've also read like some of Mindy Kaling's books, and she talks about time on the show too, and like how she and BJ Novak have sort of been like on again, off again, kind of like based on, I'm getting the impression that their characters and that relationship were based as like an exaggerated version probably of their back and forth in real life and all that sort of thing. And so I really like these behind the scenes, because it just, I don't know. I think after you've watched a show so many times, it feels real, and the people mm-hmm. feel real. And you're like, but you're Jim and Pam, not John and Jenna. Like, that's weird. And also,
yeah,
who is this Emily lady that John's running around with?
And like, who's her random husband?
Yeah. Like, I don't know his name. So I had to go with Emily Blunt. Yeah. I really love that behind the scenes look that just makes it more real, I guess, and makes you feel closer to those characters.
I will also say they do funny things, like they track Mindy's hair. It's super random, but at the beginning of the show, she's dressed really conservatively and always has her hair up. And so slowly Mindy started making her character herself, but it was kind of a slow transition. And so each episode, when they see her hair up or starting to get half down, they track it. And then there's a certain episode where they finally say, this is full Mindy. She's not wearing a paisley shirt anymore and her hair is down. And so they track more things, but that's one that stands out to me, and it's really funny.
That's really awesome. I really do like that, especially because it's such a popular show, and it makes it so that you can watch it through a different lens. That's a really good suggestion.
Exactly. And they have a long way to go, so we have many more episodes to look forward to. They're only on season 2, I think.
Oh, that's good. So it's like,
they had like 400 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And after listening to these, I want to go back and see those timestamps. I haven't done that yet, because I usually listen to this while I'm driving. So that is Office Ladies. And the last podcast I have is the first podcast I ever listened to. It's called Dr. Death from Wondery. And it's basically, it kind of hits close to home in the sense that he's a doctor who is based out of Dallas. So it's very local to us in Texas.
Crazy.
And he's supposed to be, his real name is Christopher Dunch, and he's supposed to be a neurosurgeon, I guess. So I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And he operates on people's spines and stuff like that. And so with that, it's telling his life story a little bit, like his background, but it leads up to how he botched a bunch of surgeries and killed some patients. And due to his lack of knowledge, even though he went to really prestigious schools, I think he trained or went to school at Baylor. And so it's just really crazy and creepy and close to home. And he's currently in jail, but he just recently was convicted, I'm pretty sure. So
wow,
it's just really interesting, and it's really dramatic. It has super dramatic music and I don't know, like sound effects, and it just makes it, it's like the one that Casey pointed out, but I feel like even extra dramatic. And so it's a docuseries, so I think it's about like 8 episodes. So
and it wasn't even that long ago, right? Wasn't it like within the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years?
Yeah. I know he was convicted last year, because they have follow-up episodes. But yeah, his surgeries were within a few years ago. I think his one of his last surgeries was in 2012 or something.
That's really scary.
Yeah. And another issue was doctors didn't want to be in trouble for having him at their hospital. So no one was reporting it. So that's why he kept hurting people.
Oh, man. So the corruption.
He was doing it without a license at one point. And I think he was heavy into drugs and
watching him on purpose, wasn't he?
That's what they think.
Or what he was doing.
It's like he was doing experiments, kind
of. Yeah, really creepy. We're not too sure, I guess. There's definitely a lot of accusations, and they interview people who were who had surgery from him. But yeah, it's crazy. But I have a clip that kind of describes the show if y'all want to listen to it.
Yeah, for sure.
He'd heard the hospital gossip about Dr. Dench, that he didn't know his way around basic construction of the spine. But this was the first time he'd actually seen a Dench surgery with his own eyes.
The rumors that I'd been hearing for months were true. He could not define regional anatomy, and he could not operate. You know, he trained at a top-tier neurosurgery program, and he trained in a top-tier spinal fellowship. And so to see somebody flounder that badly, it was very disturbing.
He walked out of the operation.
I did make my feelings very clear.
He told the hospital's chief of surgery what had happened, how incompetent he thought Dench was. And after that, he figured a surgeon that bad wouldn't last long. But that's not what happened.
So do they say that he like cheated? Because they mentioned there, like you said, you know, prestigious training and all this kind of stuff. So did they ever explain, or do they know at this point why he still didn't know what he needed to know?
I think they say he didn't complete his like training hours.
Oh.
Yeah, but somehow he got through the system and there's one episode that really goes into that, how they called the school he went to and they said how fabulous he was and he was the star student. But really, I think he spent a lot of times doing research and not actually practicing the art of surgery. And so he didn't have that many surgery hours. He had a lot of lab time. So he was more just reading about it rather than practicing. And then I think he might have used those hours to transfer somehow, or somehow he got away with it and then just goes on and tries to do surgery on people and botches it.
That's horrible. I don't understand why someone do that. And then Justin, like you were saying, he's also just like trying things out. Like, let's test this. Yeah. That's terrible. I don't know how you can hurt other people.
I think he was a psychopath. He had a lot of issues. So another one I highly recommend.
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right, though. It's especially crazy being in Dallas and so close and having gone to Baylor.
And how people weren't reporting it.
I feel like it makes you start to really question, like, when you're going to the doctor, like, do they know what they're doing?
Yeah. Oh, and I did hear one part, I remember, where he got a bunch of people to leave him reviews saying how amazing he was. So he'd pop up on Google, and that's just close to home for me since I work with that. You know, here, I work with Google reviews, and he somehow got fake ones, and that's just straight up crazy.
I don't like that. That's terrible. I want to listen now.
Yeah, it's wild. So that's all the podcasts I have, but they're super good.
Okay, so I think that means you are up, Justin. What kind of recommendation do you have?
Okay, so the one that I've listened to the most is the Ron Burgundy podcast. And he has a bunch of like actually pretty big guests on it. Sometimes he has like political people on there. Mm-hmm. He just recently had Clayton Kershaw from the Dodgers. I think you have a clip of that, Shelby. But
yes,
he gives his co-host Carolina just a hard time. But and it's Ron Burgundy like in character like the whole time. It's never Will, you know,
like from Anchorman, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying this is a Will Ferrell podcast, but he's doing it fully as like committed as Ron Burgundy.
This is the Ron Burgundy podcast. Like it's always Ron. It never says anything about Will or, you know, but it's.
This is like Anchorman universe. We're inside there. Okay.
Everyone calls him Ron. They don't say Will. That's Ron Burgundy. Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to the clip.
I did pull a clip. It doesn't have Clayton in it because I got to the intro and it seriously made me laugh. So I pulled that clip, but his whole podcast is funny. I even heard a commercial and he made the commercials funny, and that's the worst part. So
yes, he does like Charmin commercials and yeah. And his intro music is amazing. Just really, I mean,
he's entertaining.
He is very entertaining. Like, oh, and they do the fact checks at the end. Like, I don't know if they do it anymore, but it's a lot of fact checks at the end of the podcast. But I think they might have stopped that after season one.
Okay.
Like he has one with Peter Dinklage where he has a soundboard, and Peter Dinklage is reading off this poetry, and he's just going to town on the soundboard while he's reading poetry. And Peter Dinklage, the guy off of
Game of Thrones, yeah.
What's his name?
Tyrion Lannister.
There you go.
Yes. I think y'all should have a soundboard, definitely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tammy Thompson is a huge fan of that. She really wants sound effects. So at this point, we've vetoed that. But if you're on Tammy's side, give that feedback and you might win.
I told Casey from the time that she told me that y'all were going to do this, I said, Johnny, soundboard.
That would be fun, I will say. That would be kind of fun. But I don't even know what sound we would put.
So, like, he says a lot of stuff wrong, but the person that he's usually interviewing, they do give, like, a really good detailed version of what they're talking about. So it's not just all the comedy. And Carolina really helps, you know, the person that they're interviewing stay on track and stuff. So you are getting a little bit of good and a little bit of comedy, you know, but it's a really good mix.
Cool. Well, let's listen to that clip then. So this is at the very beginning of the Clayton Kershaw.
Actually, I can't fake it today. I don't know what to say.
Is everything all right?
Well, I just received some news before walking into the studio today. I wish I could say it was good news. But no. It's pretty fucking dark, to be honest. And not funny dark like Lenny Bruce or when a kid falls down. It's just... It's just dark and full of despair.
What's going on?
Okay, I'll just say it. I got some results back from my doctor.
Oh my god. Wait, Ron.
And I have an announcement.
Okay.
I have a cavity.
What is wrong with you?
And yes, of course I'm scared. I mean, why me? If it had to happen to anyone, why not Carolina?
You know what? Because I brush my teeth.
Excuse me, I brush my teeth. I'm not an animal.
So that is that clip. That was so funny. That's only 1 minute into the episode, so I can't even imagine what else is in store.
And after that, he goes on to say he brushes his teeth every holiday.
Very regularly.
Yes. He said, usually it's Christmas and New Year's, and then I usually forget, you know, Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, when did this podcast start? Because obviously Anchorman has been a few years, but it has stayed really popular, I think, especially with people our age. I'm assuming we're the similar age. But if he's stayed super popular, so is this relatively new that he actually started a podcast?
So I think season one started in 2017.
Oh, wow.
So he didn't start it too long ago. And it was like the later end of 2017, I think. And...
Shelby's fact-checking you right now.
I am. I'm looking.
I would have thought it was like early 2019, but I could be completely wrong.
We shall see. It's definitely still going on in 2020. I see that.
I think it's really says a lot, though, to like the impact that this character had and the work that he did with it, that he can be so many years between when the movie came out and when now he's actually doing a podcast, that people are still interested. That's still a relevant character to people, and people want to hear him deliver the news where he's being an idiot and his guest is actually like an expert professional with real knowledge.
And like, he stays in character, so he's still like the 1970s newscaster type. So
he has that mustache in the picture. It's very, very hilarious.
Well, see, and they do a video they do a video deal too that I've never got to watch it. I've seen bits and pieces, but it's with him and Carolina. And I mean, it's of their studio, but yeah, he gets locked in a, there's one where they get locked in a, they get trapped in an elevator.
Oh my gosh.
And I really got to say, that's one of my favorite ones as far as like humor, because he does some unspeakable things in 15 minutes. He freaks out, and yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, so like Rain Wilson.
Yeah.
In the office, whenever the elevator gets stuck.
Mm-hmm. And he pees?
Yep. So, yeah.
That's funny. So you said you saw a studio. Is it decorated like in the 70s, super old school, or is it modern? No,
he is in like a three-piece red velvet suit.
Gosh. Yes. Nice.
Yes, he's got the hair, he's got the mustache, but the studio is just like a regular like white room with...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I did fact check this, and the first episode was February 6, 2019, so not that long ago.
Ooh, so I think that makes Casey correct. Sorry, Justin.
That's a usual thing around here.
As uh-huh. per usual.
Yes.
Episode 1 and season 1 was in 2019?
It looks like it, because the trailer for season 1 was January 31st, 2019, and then the episode that follows that is called True Crime, and it's February 6, 2019.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So when did the movie come out?
A while ago.
That one, I feel, that was like in,
I want to say, I want to say it's like 06.
Yeah, let me see if we can prove him wrong again.
2006.
2004.
2004.
What? Wow. But there's a second movie. Who wants to take a guess on that one?
The second one came 16. Out in like 2012.
16.
Jordan, do you want to guess? Anyone else want to guess?
No. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm not a huge Anchorman fan.
Oh.
I know.
Cut her mic.
It's a secret shame.
You're out. Okay, so Justin was closest, and it's 2013 that Anchorman 2 came out.
Wow.
I mean, she did say 14.
She said 16. I think you said 12.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
A win for Justin, finally.
Finally.
Those don't happen often.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a final tally at the end of the podcast and see who has to wash the dishes tonight.
We got one and one, so.
Okay, so I guess that makes it my turn to share my podcast, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. One of them is the Philip DeFranco Show. So this is actually a podcast that has come as a result of a YouTube show that he has done for years. He does a daily show where he kind of just talks about news in the world and what's going on, and covers sometimes things that are really big news. So for example, we have a clip where he's going to talk about, that's from yesterday or day before yesterday, I guess, where he's going to talk about oil and what's going on with that. But then other times he might talk about, you know, things that's going on with other YouTubers, things that you might not typically hear on the news, but are still things that are going on in the world. So, you know, if there's like a huge YouTube feud going on between all the makeup artists and makeup gurus, then he might cover that too, because it's still like pop culture. And so he's a millennial. And so he delivers the news in a way that for me has been really interesting. And so it's definitely news that you wouldn't hear, you know, for the people who grew up with Barbara Walters and the Walter Cronkites, where it's very serious and it's sort of this traditional way of delivering news. It's totally different than that. And so that I can only listen to that sometimes. It doesn't necessarily resonate with me, but he makes it so that I can listen to news. I can get pertinent information about real things going on, and sometimes some less important things, but it makes it so that it's digestible to me, and it makes it so I can relate to the news a little more. And so the clip that Shelby has is the one where he's actually talking about oil and what's going on with that as a result of COVID-19.
Yeah, so I'll play that. I just want to note that the picture here is a picture of a monkey with glasses on, like really colorful background. And yes. This episode, I see what you mean by he has an array of topics. It's called The Truth About Adam Driver Being Canceled, TikTok Exposes Ulta, and Oil Problems Explained. So it definitely seems like a big range. And it's only about 16 minutes long. Only 16 minutes, so that's interesting.
Yeah, and when you hear this clip, you're going to hear he talks really fast. So it seems like most of his episodes are like 15, 20 minutes. Some of his YouTube's videos are a little longer. And also he does this thing called, well, actually, I'll wait to tell you about that. Let's listen to the clip first and then I'll tell you.
All right, here we go.
It's just unadulterated stupidity. And then let's talk about sweet, sweet black gold oil. That's possibly the weirdest way I could have introduced this, but I do want to talk about oil. But I did want to talk about this because I've seen a lot of confusion over the past 24 hours, and that's because the price of oil in the United States actually turned negative for the first time in history, with prices dropping by more than $50 per barrel to negative $37. That means that anyone trying to sell a barrel of oil actually has to pay their buyer $37 per barrel instead of the other way around. Right? And so this is actually a huge deal, but a lot of the information that's out there about this situation, it's super confusing and dense unless you're an economist or you work on Wall Street. So what I'm going to do here is try to break down why this happened, what it means for the economy, what it means for the oil industry, and what it means for you.
He sounded a lot like Aziz Ansari when he started the when she started that clip.
Slight little high-pitched voice. So there's another thing that he does at the end, but you could kind of hear sort of what he was going into. And even the way that he started off, you know, was he's like, sweet, sweet black gold. Sorry, that was a weird intro. You know, he's just like very relatable and very real because he started just as a YouTuber. And so he wanted to deliver news daily to people in a way that they could understand it and relate to it, people that were in our age. And so he's just done that for years and years, and he's sort of perfected that. And so something big for him is that he talks about, he tries to give just the information first. So he gives you like the facts of the situation, and then he'll say, here's my opinion on it. And he'll give his opinion. And then he always invites the audience, but tell me what you think. So he tries to make it into a conversation, and he tries to, even though he does give his opinion, he attempts to keep it unbiased when he's delivering it, which, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I think that it's hard for people to do that with news, but he does his best to kind of like segment it out like that. And something else that I really like is as often as he has an opportunity, I know he at least does this on the YouTube that he still has. I don't know if he's done it on the podcast. I haven't heard that yet, but he does a segment called Today in Awesome. And so if he just comes across something where like somebody did a really great thing or a really generous thing or, you know, saved somebody's life or just anything like that, he'll share that good news too. And so he seeks those things out as well, which I think is something that, you know, the news does, but I don't know. There's just something about the way that he presents it that just makes it very relatable, like calling it Today and Awesome. You know, he's sort of doing it in these playful ways, but it's serious news. And so I've been a fan of his for years, and I really like that he has the podcast now because then I can just kind of listen to it on the go.
I feel like that's something like I would listen to, because I know I don't really go out of my way too much like for getting news usually. And when I do try to watch the news, like actually like on TV, it just feels so negative all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I could appreciate something that there is a positive aspect of it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I always read my news, not like a newspaper, but online. I'll find articles, please. And I feel like this is something I'd actually listen to because I agree. I don't like the news very much. It's just very dramatic. And I feel like sometimes they make it scarier than it needs to be, or they hype things up. And so This is something someone I can relate to and actually get news really fast while I'm driving to work or just somewhere. I like that.
Yeah. I also like that he hits the highlights.
Yeah.
It breaks it down a lot better than like regular news stuff.
Agreed.
There are certain things, you know, for example, about like the oil prices right now that I'm not going to lie and say that I completely understand it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
And then it's super high level on the news. So I'm like, if somebody could dumb that down just a little bit for me, that would be great.
Yeah, gas is $1.39 right now. So I'm happy. I mean, I know it's not good.
But it's really cheap to fill up his 35-gallon tank.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that it's always sort of this like two-edged sword where it's like, oh man, gas is a really great price, which means there's about to be a bunch of people out of work. And I hate that can't be excited about it because it's going to affect a lot of people and probably people that you know, especially being here in Texas.
So do we invest in oil now and then wait for it to go back up? Because it's going to go back up. I mean,
I know.
It's a good question.
I had that same thought. I actually, when I was looking at it and realized that it went negative those few days ago, I looked over at Jeff and I was like, do you know how to invest in oil? I don't actually know how to do that.
I mean, that's what he said, like, when, you know, with everything going on right now and like the plummet that happens in the stock market. And he was like, should we be investing in stock right now? And my answer was, well, one, I don't know how, but two, if I was going to, I would probably invest in like the cruise ship stock. Cause that like really plummeted. And that's,
I mean, it's all going to go back up. Everything's
yeah
turn back to normal. And I mean, Yeah, a bunch of people lost their jobs. And I mean, that is bad. I agree. But those jobs are eventually going to come back. How long is it going to take? Can they get help?
Right. Yeah, that is the tough part. But it's funny because you can tell this stage that we're all in our lives, I guess, where we're like, we should be able to do, like, we should do something. We should put our money somewhere. How do we do that? No one taught me how to do that.
I didn't learn that in economics.
Exactly.
They taught me how to write a check, but I don't know how to invest in stock.
Exactly.
Hey, that's a good task, though. It's funny. On Facebook, I saw a video last night that was about COVID-19. It's a funny video. And this girl, she comes back to herself, like, from the future. She's like, hey, this is me from a month, like, from a month ago. And she's like, oh, hey, girl. And she tells her, she doesn't tell her about what's exactly happening, but she just tells her to put stock into Zoom. And she's like, what is Zoom? And she's like, whatever you do, put stocks in Zoom. Stuff is about to go down.
Everything has changed so much. It's incredible what an impact COVID-19 has had. And I keep having to, like, recenter my mind and realize that this is literally happening around the entire world. Like, there is not a place that is not feeling some sort of impact by this. And every time I think about that, it just, like, starts to blow my mind again.
Yeah.
And I kind of just revert back and I'm like, oh, that's too much for me to handle. I'm just gonna go ahead and, like, read my next email and just take the next step that I can, because I don't know how to solve that.
Yeah. Crazy.
So my other podcast is opposite of this one, really. My other podcast is also, though, based on a show that a lot of people probably know. It is called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And so it is a podcast obviously hosted by Conan O'Brien, and he is still definitely his character, his personality, however you want to call what he is. But what he does is he has kind of just longer interviews with celebrities. They always have celebrity guests on these, like, late night shows and everything like that. But I think it's, like, always limited to, like, 7 minutes or something like that. So they can have one bantery conversation, share one story, and then it's on to the next thing. And so these, they're about an hour, some a little over an hour, where he can, like, dig more into the conversation with them. And the premise of the podcast is that being Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, is he's also makes jokes about genuinely seeking out getting friends, which I think we can all relate that it's weird to make friends as an adult. And I can only imagine that as a famous celebrity, it's probably even weirder. And so the clip that I had Shelby pull for this one is a conversation that he's having with Kristen Bell. So this matches well with the Dax Shepard armchair expert recommendation, but he's having an interview with Kristen Bell. And so in classic Conan O'Brien style, he's like, just kind of coming on strong with being like, so how can we be friends and how do we do this? But she's also, like, the sweetest thing ever. And so she's super graceful. And so this clip kind of just shows a snippet of that conversation that he has with her.
It's just like a wasted emotion. So, like, saying we should strive to get together once a week. That's never going to happen.
No,
but like once every couple months, planning it like a dinner or something or like a pool party, that could totally happen. So we go in and say, what do we want to commit to? Because we like spending social time together, and our shared goal is friendship.
Right? Friendship, yes.
Right.
Friendship,
and then we can definitely do it.
Okay, because
you need buddies.
I need some real friends, you know, and I'll tell you something else. I'm very comfortable, really comfortable with you and really comfortable with your husband, and my wife likes you guys. Mm-hmm. And so it just feels like, you know what, people like my wife a lot more than they like me.
Yeah.
My assistant Sona, who's here, once said to me, your wife's the only thing I like about you. Is that true, Sona?
It is. It is true.
Yeah.
But what an honest friend.
Yeah.
She's my favorite thing about Conan.
Yeah, so you can hear, he's definitely like playing his own character, and this combination of self-deprecating and then also overly cocky that's obviously not real, begging celebrities to be his friend, but having real interviews and having good conversation with them. And then a lot of the newer shows, that was one of the like beginning ones, and in some of the newer ones he has openers and closers where like he and Sona, his assistant, are talking back and forth, which people enjoy listening to them a lot because she'll just like be really blunt and straightforward with him. And of course he acts hurt, not hurt about it. And so, or will, for example, I was listening to one the other day and he was like, how would you, I think Sona, I would describe us as soulmates, right? And she was like, no, we're not soulmates. And he's like, how would you describe us? And she said, I'm your employee. And he was just like, oh, well, but that would infer that I pay you and you do things for me. And she was like, you're right. Maybe we're just friends. And so, you know, they have banter back and forth, which is really fun. Even outside of then they'll insert like a pre-recorded interview that he does with another celebrity and stuff like that. So if you enjoy Conan O'Brien and his comedy regularly, I think you would really like this podcast because, like I said, it just gets a little deeper and he gets to have the longer conversations. And just like y'all were mentioning on other things, you can kind of pick through and see, is there a celebrity that you like and you prefer to listen to? You can pick through that episode and look at that. And there was something else I was going to, oh, I remember. So Justin, you were talking about how Ron Burgundy makes the commercials funny too. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Conan. He was doing a State Farm commercial and he's doing basically, you know, the sponsorship speech that he's doing, right. But he's doing it sarcastically and he's doing it with Sona next to him. And so he's like, you know what I really love about State Farm? And he goes into that whole thing and he's like, oh, Sona, I'm always on my State Farm app, aren't I? And she was like, yeah, I guess you're always on your State Farm app. And he's like, thank you. Thanks. And then he tries to do like a Miller Time one. And he does it just really badly. Like he starts off talking about social media and you can just hear that Sona's not impressed by this angle that he's taking. And she just, she's just like, yeah, I think at the end, she's like, that was really good. Like just really sarcastic with him. So, it's basically funny all the way through, like whether you're listening to the commercial or not, you're still enjoying what's happening. And so I really like that one. I definitely recommend it.
I think Sona is so funny. I always go on Facebook and go to those videos of them interacting. And one of my favorite ones is Conan offers to buy her a car, but he buys her the crappiest car on the planet. And I just love their friendship. And then she sometimes doesn't work hard, but he still keeps her around. Like it's they're so funny. So I imagine this podcast being really funny if she's heavily involved in it.
Yeah. And I haven't looked to see, but there is no way that he has not done a podcast that includes Jordan Schlansky, who I also really love.
The guy that no one likes.
Yes, he's like this, and he's like obsessed with being Italian, but he's only like very little Italian. And he's just like a very strange character. So aptly named Jordan. I'm like, I can relate. I see how this ties together. Yeah, so that's a really funny one. That one's newly discovered for me. So I've only listened to a couple of the episodes, but I like it. So again, if you like Conan O'Brien, you'll definitely enjoy that podcast. It's a really good one. Well, I want to say I really appreciate all three of you for being here. Casey and Justin, I appreciate you joining and being our guests. Shelby, you really didn't have a choice because you will be here to record anyway. But I appreciate that you helped me and took the lead on making this remote recording work. So again, we just want to say thank you guys, and we appreciate you being there with us.
It was fun.
Anytime.
Yeah, super fun.
If you have suggestions or feedback on how we can make the podcast more interesting to you, please let us know. You can subscribe to the GVEC Unplugged podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcast, or you can watch your email for a link to listen to on your desktop when new episodes are released. Look out for each other, GVEC team, and stay safe till next time.